choir is going to stand. Church, would you stand and turn over to page number 177. Page 177. And let's sing, Are You Washed in the Blood of the Lamb? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are you gone? Aside the garments that are stained with sin, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are you seated. So good to see you back in the house of the Lord tonight. What a message this morning. Amen. And we look forward to the message tonight. The choir has been working hard today. Some have been here since a little before four. And we are excited about the resurrection. Amen. That's something to be excited about. You pray for us. We're going to work very hard to try and present a little bit of a drama this year. Drama doesn't seem to be such a good word anymore because everybody says, she's just full of drama, you know. So that's kind of taking everything out of context. But we are excited about presenting the gospel story in a couple of songs and a little bit of a drama this year. So you pray for the choir and everyone that is working behind the scenes. Some of them are probably even working right now as we speak, to try and make some things ready for Easter, and we are excited, so please make that a matter of prayer. Please remember all the prayer requests that were given this morning, and we have a long list. You'll see those in your bulletin. You'll see them on the screens, and so please, let's pray for those. Some have come home from the hospitals, and some have come home from nursing homes, and some are going through tests and recovering from surgeries and just all kinds of things going on, so let's lift one another up in prayer. And remember each other, and just pray that the Lord would have His healing hand upon each one. But again, it is good to see you back in the house of the Lord tonight. Pray for Pastor as he brings our message tonight. Don't forget about Wednesday evening is a Bible study. And immediately following Bible study, the choir will be having a special call practice on Wednesday evening. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday. Can you believe that? And then the following Sunday, the 21st, is Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday morning. And again, please make that a matter of prayer. But let's go to Him in a word of prayer. Don't forget to sign up for the book on the of the Revelation to my right, to your left. Please, if you're interested in getting a copy of that, please go ahead and sign up. Brother Jack and Miss Jackie will make sure that you get your copy. And they are very excited about that. There's a lot of those copies going out all over the world, literally, and we're excited, and just go ahead and get signed up for that, and they'll get your copy to you. But let's go to the Lord in word of prayer and ask God's blessing on the service, as well as the offering. Pray for Pastor tonight. And Brother Joe, would you take us to the Lord in word of prayer?
Speedy recovery. praise the Lord. His blood never loses its power. It's always sufficient for every need. Okay, we have a left behind cell phone in a case. It's laying in the floor. Was laying in the floor. Brother Charlie. All right. We've got a claim over here. So, all right. Business taken care of. Let's take our Bibles and turn back to the New Old Testament book of Genesis 37. Genesis 37. That's where we were this morning, and we're going to continue to speak some things tonight concerning the subject matter here of Joseph the dreamer. Joseph the dreamer. Let's bow for a word of prayer, and then I want to read two verses, verse number 18 and then verse number 19. Out of Genesis chapter number 37. Heavenly Father, we come one more time. In Jesus' name. We're on the threshold of a brand new week. And Lord, help us tonight to focus totally upon you and the fact that you're alive, you arose from the grave. And because of that, our preaching is not in vain, our faith is not in vain. We are not yet in our sins. And all things have become new. We're thankful for all of those truths. But Lord, I pray as we finish up this message, Lord, that you would use what we have to say tonight to be beneficial to your people. Lord, by the time we leave tonight, I pray that we'll be better Christians, sure of your present will for our lives, being a witness in this world. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis chapter number 37, verse number 18, the Bible says, "And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. They said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh." We used those verses this morning to start a message entitled Joseph the Dreamer. And many of you, if not the majority, know the life of Joseph and his ups and downs. But we started this morning talking about the person of the dream. We mentioned this morning how that Joseph was loved of his father. It says so in verse number 3. We talked about how that he longed for righteousness in verse number 2. How he brought that evil report back to his father. He was a person of righteousness. He longed for righteousness. And then we looked at the fact that he looked beyond ridicule. Joseph did. Verse number 13, his father had him go to check upon his brothers. And this was even after the hatred had began to grow from his brothers to Joseph. Joseph still looked beyond that and knew that he had a duty to operate out of. He had some responsibility. And he wasn't going to allow the ridicule from his brothers to stop that. Talking about the person of the dream. And Joseph, he not only that, but he was labeled from others. We mentioned that this morning. In verse number 19, the Bible says, "And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh." Of course, they spoke this as a derogatory statement, but yet it was a statement and it was a part of Joseph that was good. It wasn't nothing derogatory about it at all. The simple fact is that there are some in this world who are naysayers. They're negative, and they actually prey upon, P-R-E-Y, upon those who want to excel in life, those who have ambitions and dreams and goals. Those of the lesser fortune or the lesser sort may not want to excel in life. They may be satisfied with living on the sofa. They may be satisfied with mediocre Christianity. But Joseph wasn't that way. He wanted to excel, and so he was gained the label of being a dreamer. And that was a good thing. So we looked at the person of the dream this morning. Then we looked at the particulars of the dream. We've seen that this dream contained a visual. Verse number 6 and 7, we see that Joseph had a dream, and he told his brothers the dream. In verse number 7, he says, "For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." So this visual had to do with these brothers in the field binding sheaves. But things changed when Joseph said, "By the way, yours was bowing to mine." So this was the visual Joseph was given. These are particulars in this dream. Verse number 9, he had a second phase of this dream, or a second dream, and it was of the sun and moon and stars. Verse 9 says, "And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." So we see that the particulars of this dream were very vivid in a sense. Had to do with sheaves, and it had to do with other sheaves bowing to Joseph's, and it had to do with the sun, moon, and 11 stars. And most believe that the sun is in reference to Jacob, the moon is in reference to Rachel, and the 11 stars are in reference to the 11 brothers. And we know the reason why these dreams were given in the order they were is because his brothers came back to Egypt first and made obeisance to Jacob, or to Joseph rather. There was a visual in this dream, but then there were variables. What I mean by variables were that the dream overall was hazy. Joseph knew that it had to do with some type of supremacy, some type of obeisance to him, but he fully, really didn't know the ins and out of this dream. So we know that there was some haziness to this dream. We know that there was some preconditioning that was involved. The reason why this dream was hazy, because God had to get Joseph ready for that position. So that's when we find out that Joseph was, as we're going to talk about tonight, he was cast into a pit, sold into slavery, and many other things Joseph went through in order to make it to the top. But Joseph tonight was a man that was humble. He was a man that was, or who actually abased himself. And he followed his father's orders, but he listened to his dreams, and he followed his dreams. And because he followed his dreams, and because he abased himself, and because he was humble, in due time God exalted him. You know, there's either one or two things we can do tonight. We can attempt to exalt ourselves, or we can wait on the Lord and let him exalt us. When I mean wait on the Lord and let him exalt us, we're not talking about being prideful and marching around and saying, "Ooh, look at me," but being used in a capacity where God could get glory from. So Joseph was that man. There was some particulars in his dream, a visual, variables. And then this morning we left off with the problem of the dream. There was a problem there. Because you see, with a dream such as this, and if there's any aspirations or desires we may have in our life, with a dream, with aspirations, with desires of this magnitude, comes negative feedback from some. We can always expect some backlash from some. Again, especially those who are not doing anything, or especially those that feel like they deserve more in life. They almost, I guess if they could say it, and without putting words in people's mouths or putting words in his brother's mouths, that maybe they felt like that they ought to be number one. Maybe they felt like that they ought to have that, they should have had that dream where eventually they would be supreme. Why is God blessing him in that capacity and not blessing me? Sometimes if we don't keep our eyes on Jesus, we can look upon others and see that, well, God's moving in their life and working in their life, and I've been faithful, and things are the same for me. Well, we see that sometimes there's problems with the dream. There's problems with aspirations and desires. In verse number 8, we see a voice of negativity. Notice in verse number 8, the Bible says, "And his brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words." They were a negative bunch. They couldn't just encourage the baby brother, but they were negative. And we know they were negative because it came from a deeper source. It wasn't all the dream as to why they were angry, but it dated back some. There was a source by which his brothers were operating out of that brought this strong hatred. Verse number 1 through 4, we see, we read these verses this morning. Let me just give them to you. In verse number 2, it was the evil report that Joseph brought back to his father. His brothers were mad at him because they viewed him as a tattletale. They viewed him as a teacher's pet, so to speak. They viewed him as daddy's little boy. But really, Joseph was a righteous man, and it was the righteousness of Joseph that his brothers despised. Not only that, but there was a coat of many colors in verse number 3. And we see that last phrase, the Bible says, "And he made him a coat of many colors." And so they were despising Joseph because of that, because of his righteousness, because of his standing with his father, because of the coat of many colors. In verse 4, that last phrase says, "And could not speak peaceably unto him." And on top of all of that, Joseph said, "I have a dream." Can you imagine how that was like nails on a chalkboard to his brothers? "You have a dream? I have a dream," is what he's saying. But all along, underneath the surface, there was this negativity, this hatred, this envy that was brewing. So when Joseph said he had a dream and it involved his brothers as being sheaves bowing to his sheave, that just threw them over the top. You know, sometimes as we walk this pathway that we walk, the straight and narrow, and we try to serve the Lord and we try to do right and be all that we can be for Him and our families, and we have goals and dreams and aspirations, sometimes there are those who carry a spirit of negativity toward us. And sometimes you'll experience that, and I'll experience that. Sometimes it comes from a deeper source. So the very last thing that you do, or the very latest blessing that you share, it just throws them over the top, and they're angry, and they're mad. But the Bible tells us that we ought to think on those pure and lovely things. And if there's any good report, we ought to think upon those things. And if there's anything worth mentioning that gives praise to the Lord, we ought to mention those things. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 13, we see that one aspect of love is for a person not to rejoice in someone else's iniquity. But when they're walking soberly and when God's blessing them, we're to rejoice with them. Has there ever been someone in your life that thought that they shouldn't be blessed like they are, but God has blessed them? And how do you feel about it? You know, sometimes it does us good to reevaluate and examine our own hearts. You know, if we all deserved, what we, I guess, the penalty for our sin tonight, if we really got what we deserved, we wouldn't receive any kind of blessing. And so whether it's a neighbor, whether it's a friend or a loved one that God has blessed and you don't feel like they deserve it, maybe a good time to do a self-examination and say, "That's right, I don't deserve it." Nonetheless, there was a problem of this dream. Voices of negativity. This voice was springing. These voices were springing from bitterness and hatred in the lives of his brothers. They hated Joseph because of his righteousness, and they hated him because of his robe or his coat. And so that's the particulars of the dream, the problem of the dream, the person of the dream. But tonight, for a few moments, I want to conclude the sermon with the pain of the dream. The pain of the dream. I want you to look in verse number 18. We're going to look down through verse number 36. We're not going verse by verse, but we're going to mention some things, and then we'll bring it to a close in just a little while. The pain of his dream, and saying the pain of his dream, and this is a message about Joseph, but I'm really not going to talk about Joseph right now. Joseph, I will mention for a moment or two, but there's really three characters I want to talk about outside of Joseph. I want to talk about Judah's role in this. I want to talk about Reuben's role in this. And then I want us to take a look at Jacob and how he felt when he was presented with that bloody coat. Number one, I want you to notice in verse number 18, we see his brothers plotted against him. When they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired or plotted against him to slay him. And they said one to another, "Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. We will say some evil beast hath devoured him. We shall see what will come before his dreams." So now they're plotting against Joseph. They're conspiring to slay him. They're going to strip him of his coat and they're going to throw him into some pit. Notice verse number 23. And it came to pass when Joseph was coming to his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. They took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. They sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And so now we have the part of this dream that brought pain. Joseph's brothers, they plotted against him to kill him. They stripped him of his coat and they threw him in the pit and left him for dead. So we see that the love didn't go very far with these brothers. They left him for dead, but then, verse number 31 through 35, or I'm sorry, verse number 27 and 28, we see his brothers sold him into slavery. Look at verse number 27. "Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. Let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh." And his brethren were content. So now they were wanting to sell him, the Bible records. And so we see that Joseph was plotted against. Joseph was stripped of his robe, his coat. He was thrown in a pit, and he was left for dead. We know that the chapter ends in verse number 36 with Joseph being sold to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh. But as I said, I want to mention three people and their roles tonight in this. And really, I'm really not going to say much about Joseph other than his roles with these three people. Number one, we see Judah. Verse number 26 and 27, we find that Judah is one who is saying a whole lot in a little amount of time. Judah is opening in his mouth in verse number 26. Here's what he says. "And Judah said unto his brethren, What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh." And his brethren were content. Judah, he was plotting and he was wanting now to just sell him into slavery. The Bible says that his brothers were content. We see that Judah might have been the initiator of Joseph's death or plotting to kill him. And if you look in chapter number 38, we find out that in verse number 1, "And it came to pass at that time," Judah was doing other things. Judah had some children. We found out that his sons had died, and Tamar was one of his daughter-in-laws. So one night, Judah was going looking for basically what it was a prostitute. And he took her. And he was deceived, and it was his daughter-in-law because she was mourning over her husband. And she was veiled with a type of veil that one would wear during grief-bearing. And we know there were two children that were born from that situation. Perez in verse number 29 of chapter 38. And Zerah also in verse number 30. Two illegitimate kids. We see Judah, this man who was wanting to kill his brother. And Judah, this man who's not living a righteous life and now has two illegitimate kids within his family. But if you pause and take a moment, you'll find out that Judah was actually the tribe that Jesus came from. Judah was the lineage of Christ. And it wasn't so much Joseph, but it was Judah. And so Judah has his own story. Although it was rough and although it was rugged, it was the tribe that the Lord Jesus Christ came from. And sometimes we look at Joseph and say, well, you know, poor, poor, pitiful Joseph. And he had his moments. And Joseph deserved mercy and Joseph deserved goodness. But what about Judah? Judah didn't deserve to be the one to set in motion the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ one day. Judah wasn't or should not have been chosen for that. But I want to say tonight that we didn't deserve to have the blessings we have. We don't deserve to be blessed. We don't deserve anything we have. We don't deserve salvation. All comes from the good hand of God. So Judah had a role in this. And his role was that he was the initiator, I believe. He said he had some affairs going on at home. But yet Judah was chosen to be the tribe from which Jesus would come. Now, I want you to look at a second person. Not only Judah, but then there's Reuben. In verse number 21, we see that, and Reuben heard it. He heard the plot. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness. Lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands, to deliver him to his father again. If you jump down to verse number 29, Joseph had already been stripped, thrown in the pit, and actually taken out and sold to the Ishmaelites. Verse number 29, and Reuben returned into the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit. And he rent his clothes, and he returned unto his brethren and said, the child is not, and I, whither shall I go? Reuben is a type of intercessor. Reuben is that family member when everybody else wanted to throw you in the pit, throw you in jail, and throw away the key. Reuben was that family member that hung in with their family member. Reuben was an intercessor. You see, Reuben basically went down into the pit with Joseph, although not physically, but he was with him during that experience. And Reuben interceded for Joseph, and because of his interceding, he didn't die in that pit. Reuben is an intercessor. And how many times in life can you recall during your salvation journey being with Jesus that you're looking back and reflecting on times where there were people who wanted you to basically just go away and never come back, be thrown in jail and throw away the key. Oh, don't give them another chance. They'll blow it again. But there was somebody in your life that was interceding. There was somebody who went down into the pits that you were in and stood in your behalf and made sure that you made it out alive. You know, I got to thinking about, man, on my dad's side of the family, no Christians at all. And then I get to looking on my mother's side of the family, preachers, deacons, preachers, deacons, preachers, 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 all the way down. And I got to thinking, well, I wonder I got saved November 19th, 02, but I wonder if anybody had any kind of hand, if anybody was engaged in prayer, if anybody knew that, man, I was living the kind of lifestyle I was, just wild and out there and going the ways of the world, and somebody was praying for me and my family. So eventually, on that day, I got saved, and we were at a family gathering, and I have a great uncle who lives down in Brunswick, Georgia. I maybe only seen him a couple times. And he walked up to me and he was smiling. He said, "How you doing, son?" He's a little short thing and high-pitched voice. Albert Gober, preacher, pastor, missionary. His brother's a missionary. I didn't find out till probably 5 or 6 years ago, we have a missionary family in China. So he said, "How's it going?" I said, "It's going good. It's going good. You know, the Lord is using us and giving us opportunity to serve and all of that. And God's really blessed us." He said, "You know, I've been praying for you for about 20 years, don't you?" I said, "No, I had no idea." He said, "Oh, yeah. Me and Aunt Pat said we'd get down the floor in our living room when you and your brother were teenagers and y'all were out there and doing all this crazy stuff. Me and Aunt Patsy was praying for you." I said, "Brother Albert," I said, "Uncle Albert," I said, I never knew y'all were doing that. I barely knew you." He said, "Oh, yeah." And he said, "Since you got saved, we got some praying to do for some more family members." I said, "Absolutely." You see, he was an intercessor on my behalf. And I believe Joseph really didn't know to the extent of praying and protecting that Reuben was doing over him. Reuben stood in the gap and he talked his brothers out of killing him. Reuben went down to the pit with Joseph and made sure he was alive with Joseph. And I want to say tonight, there's some people in your life that's been in your life, probably currently in your life. They love you. You may feel like it's hard love or tough love, but that is a kind of love. And if somebody is in your life that way, let them love you, whether it's tough, whether it's soft love. Listen, there are people and family members who want to be there for you, and they will go down to the pits of this world with you and make sure that you stay alive. Praise the Lord for intercessors tonight. I know it's through the intercessing prayer, my Uncle Albert, as to why I'm here tonight. Had no idea that he was doing the kind of praying he was until after I seen him after salvation. There's Reuben. And there's Judah. But then I want us to turn the tables a bit and look at Jacob, the dad, for a moment. Because here's Jacob, verse number 31 through verse number 35. He receives word that his darling son is dead. Look at verse 31. "They took Joseph's coat, killed a kid of goats, dipped the coat in the blood. They sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, 'This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no.'" And listen to Jacob's words. "And he knew it and said, 'It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces.'" Now here Jacob is, having raised these kids, and he's growing old, and his darling son, he just found out, has been rent to pieces. We know that his sons are deceiving him. We know that they are, again, plotting, and they're devising this plan to cover up their maliciousness, intent to kill Joseph. But I want you to think about something with me. We won't turn back, but if you remember when Jacob and Esau were growing up, Jacob did the very same things his sons are doing. It was one day that Jacob came in and Isaac and his vision was being was diminishing because of age. And Jacob, he put on hair everywhere to deceive his father, to getting that birthright. And so now all of these years later, here's Jacob being deceived himself. You can come to your own conclusions when it comes to that, but what I'm trying to say is that Jacob deceived, now he's being deceived. I don't know, could it be because of the type of parenting Jacob had did at one point in his life that his sons began to pick up on that and now they're deceiving? I don't know. But I will say this, they presented Joseph as dead, but Joseph was not dead. Joseph was alive. And although he was sold into slavery and now on his way to Potiphar's house in Pharaoh's courts, Joseph was alive. But there was this vivid picture that Joseph was dead. We see Jacob, look what he says in verse 34, and Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And the whole time he's alive. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. You know, I can kind of see if it were true how Joseph with Jacob with a broken heart would feel that way. How that the loss of a son would although, of course, praise the Lord, you know, Lily's with us and will for always be with us. But you begin to think, how would you react to the loss of a loved one, a child or a spouse or some kind of a person in your life that's a mentor? Sometimes I think that, man, I would feel like Jacob would feel. I'm just going to go to the grave mourning over the loss of my child. We know God gives grace for those times, but this is what I want you to see. That although Jacob expressed what he expressed, and although he was ready to put a stop on life and just wait to die, Joseph was alive. I want to say this, that sometimes in life God may give you aspirations and dreams and goals, and you may think you're too old or it's too late. You may think that the dream is dead, and you may think that, and the devil's telling you there is no way that you can do that. There's no way you can accomplish that. It's too late. It's dead. I want to say it's never too late until you're dead. It's never too late. It's never too late. And here Jacob is, he's mourning and grieving over someone who's alive. I want to say tonight, if you're here and you're able to take breath and draw in breath and you got a heartbeat, guess what? You're alive and your dream could be alive. Your goals could be alive. And even on a different kind of level, the devil has told us that our Christian walk is dead and we'll never reach anybody for Jesus. And we've done so much bad personally in our lives that the Lord will never use us. Well, guess what? All that is a bloody coat the devil's showing us and saying, listen, it's dead, it's over. But in all actuality, it's alive. The dream is alive. The goals we may have are still alive because we're alive. And Jesus forgives and Jesus loves. And if it's a situation of being forgiven because of your sin, you're forgiven. If you are a child of God, you are forgiven. And God wants you to get back in the harness and go again at it. Just because these kids said, Daddy, Daddy, Joseph's dead. Look at his bloody coat. It was all a lie from the devil. Some of you are here tonight and you're not trying anymore. You have believed the lie of the bloody coat. You think there's no more opportunities and you think God's through with you and you feel like the dream is dead and all the rest of it's gone. It's not. His commission's still the same. His gifts and callings you still possess. He is no respecter of persons. The Lord does not repent after giving you a gift. And if you sin and mess up and blow things, guess what? You still have that gift. The dream is not over. It's still alive. If you used to preach, guess what? Get back up and preach. If you used to teach, keep on teaching. If you used to sing, talk to Brother Allen. I'm sure he wouldn't mind. He'll let you sing. Because the devil wants us to quit, and he wants us to stop, and he wants us to get bogged down with bloody coats and images of shattered dreams and broken hearts and things that pertain unto that. But listen tonight. If you're here and you can breathe, you have opportunity to serve the Lord. We see that all the while this has to do with Joseph's dreams. There's particular people that have part in his dreams or the coming to fruition of his dreams. Judah was the initiator, I believe, and he tried to have Joseph killed. But then Reuben stepped in as an intercessor. And then Jacob felt like it was over. But you've already read the end of the book of Genesis. How that they meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And then there came a time of reckoning when Joseph stood over his brothers and he showed great mercy. And he exhibited great grace to his brothers. He forgave like Jesus forgave. He loved like Jesus loved. And at the end of the day, no matter what has happened in life, if you've been done wrong, if your dreams have been shattered, we are to still show love and show kindness and forgive others. Also, we know that Jacob found out Joseph was alive. Imagine that. Imagine that for years, thinking that your child, your loved one, someone in your life was gone, but then to find out they're alive. Well, guess what? We do have that kind of deal. Because if they were saved, although they're not here in body, we'll see them again one day. And Jacob, he thought that Joseph was gone, but then came that day when Joseph was high and lifted up, and he was shown great kindness and mercy from Potiphar and all of his men. And here comes Jacob up to his son Joseph, and then his brothers. You know, Joseph could have had revenge on his brothers at that time and crushed them, but he didn't. He showed mercy. He showed love. And also, there was rejoicing with his father, Jacob. Judah, Reuben, Jacob, there was this pain of the dream, this pit experience. If you want to come with a song tonight, I want to conclude the sermon with just simply this. Someone said one time that the Christian life is a series of falling down and getting up. And I believe that. We all fall down. We all get back up. The key element in that is to keep that desire fresh and hot of wanting to stay up, wanting to hit that target. Because the times that come where you feel like, what's the use? Why even try? That's when you start to go down to the pit. That's when the assaults from the wicked one are more hot than you've ever believed. So let's keep on striving and keep on moving forward. If the Lord has given you some passions and desires, you keep going after those passions and desires. There's a preconditioning involved. God has to prepare us for that. So don't lose faith. Don't lose hope. You're still in His hand. You just keep on keeping on. Stay communicating with Him. Let's stand to our feet and we'll have a verse of invitation.